Agility dogs leap over hurdles and race through obstacles, but sometimes just going next door is enough. In his book, Katie, Up and Down the Hall, journalist Glenn Plaskin tells the story of a Cocker Spaniel who created her own extended family in a New York City apartment building. The book is coming out in paperback in May, and Glenn joined me in the studio to talk about it. Well, Glenn, thanks for coming in to talk to us about your book. You know, maybe we could get started by telling us a little bit about your apartment building and how you came to get Katie in the first place.
Well, I live in a part of Manhattan called Battery Park City, which is right down by the Hudson River across the street from the World Trade Center site. And it's like a little community all of its own. We have hundreds of dogs, hundreds of children, babies, and lots of families. And as you walk along the Hudson River on that esplanade, you'll see just a parade of every kind of dog you can imagine. And so into this world came this little puppy that nobody wanted, who I named Katie. Nobody wanted her because she was the runt of the litter. And when I looked at those long, droopy ears and that blonde hair, I said, okay, that's the dog for me. I brought her home, but I knew nothing about how to raise a dog mm-hmm. or how to train a dog. So I went down the hall, and our building has 35 floors, 17 apartments on a floor. And just by accident, there was an 85-year-old woman down the hall who had had Cocker Spaniels, and her dog had died. I knocked on her door, and my whole life changed. For the next 16 years, every single day, my dog, Katie, ran down the hallway to Pearl's apartment. And she had a husband, Arthur. And then further down the hall, there was a little boy who had no mom named Ryan and his father, a single dad. And his father worked at the New York Times. His father's name was John. And so he would often leave the little boy with either me or with Pearl. And he was an extremely rambunctious boy. In fact, that's where the title of the book came from, Katie Up and Down the Hall, because Ryan and Katie had races up and down this hall with Pearl, the 85-year-old, as the referee. And she would either throw tennis balls or throw toys, and we would start them off on a starting line. And, you know, and Pearl, here's this woman who's nearly 90, and she would say, ready, set, go! And so this hallway became like this almost connective tissue between three apartments, mine, Pearl's, and the little boy's. And really, the hallway is like a metaphor because it was a metaphor for the connection between people. And as you know, every dog has an instinct to create a pack. And in human terms, we call that a family. And so all at once, this changed the definition of family for me. A family is not just your biological family. It's the people that you're in closest proximity to. And so we had the little boy, his dad, me, my dog, the older woman, and her husband. And we all became what you might call a family. And the book follows our adventures over a period of 16 years.
You know, that's really important about family. All of us who have dogs, we really consider our dogs family members. So, you know, it's very interesting that Katie was a part of this big family.
Katie would actually push open doors. In other words, it was an open door policy. So we left our doors open. So if Katie wanted to go down the hall to visit the little boy, she just ran down there and pushed open the door, and I knew where she was. And then when it was time for dinner, they'd open that door, and she'd run down and push open that door. So she actually had three families.
Maybe you could tell us a little bit about each of those families in her life.
Well, as I said, Pearl had a dog that had died. But equally important, she had had a child that died early in her life. So here, at the grand age of 85 into her 90s, she not only inherited a dog, but equally good, she inherited a little boy who gave her all new kinds of energy. And she inherited a grandson, which was the boy's father. And she got me, I guess you could call me her confidant and best friend, and she got the dog. And so I almost felt like I was giving therapy when I would loan my dog down the hall. I had a full-time job. And so when I left in the morning, Katie went down the hall and she spent the entire day there. So it truly was her second home.
That's wonderful. And dogs are great when helping people to either feel better or to, you know, help them deal with situations in their lives. I mean, we all know dogs who have gone on to be great therapy dogs. Did Katie do any other therapy work besides her immediate family?
She was an amateur nurse. She did her therapy with all her 80 and 90-year-old friends. In fact, there's a very funny part in the book where we talk about not only the 80 and 90-year-olds where we talk about many of the celebrities she met. Because as you know, I was doing that for work, interviewing celebrities for newspapers. And when I was nervous before an interview, I found that bringing the dog along would not only relax me, but it would relax the celebrity. I took her to California, and she sat on Bette Midler's lap the entire interview. I took her to Katharine Hepburn's for lunch. She met Farrah Fawcett and Ryan O'Neill. She met Peter Jennings. She even met the so-called Queen of Mean, Leona Helmsley, who said she would make a nice coat.
Oh, dear. Well, I totally understand that. In fact, the first time I ever had to do a national TV interview, I had a dog on my lap. It was really that, you know, wonderful thing to just have a dog there with you to, you know, be your friend and to relax you. I mean, it's just a great thing about having a dog. You know, you also talked about Katie being owned by this entire family. Maybe you could tell us a little bit why, you know, there was something in Katie's personality, or maybe it was Cocker Spaniels, that made her so adept at picking up training and cues from all of her family members.
Well, you know, I did hire a trainer at the beginning, and he did teach her the basics, sit, stay, come, down, that kind of thing. But I'm afraid that the others trained her with some bad habits.
I see.
Like, for instance, Katie got to the point where she would prefer to sit on the dining room chair with her food in front of her at dinner time. So when we were all eating, she would much prefer to eat her food sitting at the table. And when she was done, Pearl, the older woman, would feed her pieces of chicken with a fork, and she very perfectly got the chicken off the fork every time. Pearl would hold an ear of corn, and my dog would go from side to side, chewing the corn, never missing a kernel. I even taught her how to sit at a typewriter, and she understood that if she tapped her paws on the keys, a visual image would be on the monitor. She also learned how to use a remote control so she could change channels, and half the time she wound up at the food channel. No surprise. So I'm afraid basically Pearl and the others taught my dog to be a little bit adventurous and naughty. And I think one of my favorite memories of Katie is always catching her sound asleep on her back, 4 feet straight into the air, leaning against Pearl as she took her afternoon snooze on Pearl's nightgown.
So do you have any other funny moments about Katie you'd like to share?
We would also dress her up in all kinds of costumes. At one point, Joan Rivers came out with a line of costumes for their owners and their dogs.
Matching dresses, right.
Right. And because Katie did some print modeling for Family Circle magazine, she inherited 2 or 3 special costumes, sequins and ruffles and all kinds of stuff. So anytime we would have any kind of family event, you know, a birthday or an anniversary or anything, I would just dress her up. She understood. She would hold her paws up. She understood that the 2 front paws had to go through the front holes in the costume. And I found this dog, you could literally hang her upside down, and she was happy, a very even temperament. She could meet anybody. And I think there's a misconception sometimes about Cocker Spaniels that they can be a little snappy or reticent around children and people. But for the most part, I find Cocker Spaniels are extremely outgoing and friendly.
And it really goes back to just being able to do proper socialization when they're young to make sure that they do grow up to be great adults and well acclimated to all sorts of situations. You know, your book talks a lot about loneliness in the city. And I'm just wondering, do you think dogs help us connect to things and feelings we've lost sight of?
Well, I do. It's true that loneliness exists in the city, but I'm sure it also exists in the country. And there are so many people who get such benefit from having a dog. There's something about the tactile sense of a dog being next to you, about the way they lick your hand or the way they look into your eyes or the way they keep you going and through walks and exercise. So I think it's a great – it was a great catharsis for me to have a dog. It calms you down to some extent, but it also – it's not a substitute for a human being. In fact, I think dogs are happiest when they have a mixture of more than just one living being in the house. I think if there's a couple adults –
different species maybe or
– Yes. My dog liked cats, birds. I think dogs are happy around a lot of life, but for the human being, and for me in particular, I found it was very calming, and I think it's therapeutic. I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any touching moments that you'd like to share with our listeners about Katie?
Well, you know, one of my happiest memories is so many nights at sunset along the Hudson River, sitting out on the bench that faces like 2 feet from the water, and just the dog lying in my arms. And I remember during some of the parts of her life when she was not physically well, there was this incredible sense of peace as she would just, you know, lay in your arms and look at the sun coming down. I think every dog owner experiences that kind of thing.
Absolutely. I totally can relate to that as a dog owner myself. Well, let's have you read a section from your book that will, give us a sense of this special dog, Katie.
As smart and determined as she was, Katie, like most dogs, wanted and needed structure and direction, and to this end, loved being talked to. Right from the start, I got into the habit of having conversations with her, eye to eye, and I could tell that she clearly understood much of what I said. I'd say things like, "Now listen up, child. You're a good little dog. You are, but you have to learn your manners. No biting, no scratching your nails on the furniture, no getting up on the white couch, and no accidents. And if you're good, you'll get a cookie or a nice piece of chicken." Her ears immediately pricked up at these words. No, she didn't understand every word, but she did intuit the meaning of them from my tone, inflection, volume, and repetition of key phrases. Her vocabulary of about 60 words included good, bad, no, eat, hungry, go out, go ahead, meaning to do her business, stay, sit, come, and beat it. If I asked, "What are you doing?" her head anxiously went up as she stopped the offense. She also was well acquainted with cookie, treat, cake, coat, ball, keys, sock, and bone, to mention just a few of her favorite things to eat or chew on. And when she heard, "Get in your house," she always hightailed it back into her crate, happy to recline on her blue blanket while keeping a watchful eye on me. With this arsenal of words at her command and her ability to get the gist of my meaning, Katie was fully communicative.
Well, thank you very much for coming here and speaking with us about Katie and all your adventures going up and down the hall. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. It was great.
That was Glenn Plaskin reading from his book, Katie, Up and Down the Hall.